How would a government shutdown affect hiring in the private sector?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The clock is ticking and a federal budget deadline is drawing near. At midnight tomorrow night, the federal government will shut down without any budget agreement between the Obama administration and House Republicans. Now, the GOP is vowing to stick to its pledge of cutting as much from the budget as possible. Democrats say they've compromised more than enough in the budget discussions, and further cuts will hurt the economy. So with a government shutdown, a lot of so-called non-essential federal workers will be sent home. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports on what that's going to mean for the jobs picture.
Am I essential? Government workers are asking themselves this question, wondering whether their names are written on the top secret list at the Office of Personnel Management in Washington, the list of workers whose jobs will be suspended if the government shuts down.
For most of them, the answer will be yes, they will be furloughed.
Judy Conti is with the National Employment Law Project. She says, at the minimum, a shutdown would mean some 800,000 government workers losing a few days of salary. Congress hasn't yet decided if those workers will get back pay as they did during the shutdown of 1995. If a shutdown continues longer than a week, those economic effects could ripple into private industry.
The dreaded U word of uncertainty is rearing its ugly head. If there is a shutdown, who knows how long it will go on? And markets are volatile, and people invest or don't invest based on how sure they think things are going to be working out.
And private employers watch those markets before they make plans to hire. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
The number of people filing for first-time jobless claims was down once again last week by 10,000, according to the Labor Department. That is a sign the job market continues to improve for now. But the recovery has been better for men than for women. St. Louis Public Radio's Adam Allington reports.
In 2009, economists were calling it the mancession. That's because most of the jobs lost were in male-dominated sectors like manufacturing and construction. Now we could be seeing a mancovery, says St. Louis University economist Jack Strauss. But the jobs picture for women is going in the opposite direction.
The private sector has been creating jobs. The manufacturing sector has been slowly rebounding. But what's been going on is we've been losing jobs in education. We've been losing jobs in local and state governments. Those jobs are primarily populated by women.
According to the Labor Department, of the 1.3 million jobs created last year, nearly 90% went to men. But the unemployment rate among women actually rose and is expected to rise even higher as more people like Kimberly Hopkins lose their jobs.
I did receive a notice of honorable dismissal.
Hopkins is a speech therapist for the East St. Louis School District. The district plans to lay off nearly 300 teachers this summer.
Oh, it means everything for me and my family. I'm a single parent, as well as I take care of my elderly mother. So my income is substantial to the household.
The Labor Department says the unemployment rate among single mothers is 12.3%. Joan Entmacher is the vice president for Family Economic Security at the National Women's Law Center in Washington, D.C. She says women faced greater risks from unemployment even before the recession.
This is an extremely vulnerable group. Lower pay, less savings. They're more likely to be single parents. More than half of all poor children live with single mothers. So the high unemployment there is a real crisis.
Entmacher cautions that the threat of long-term unemployment affects both men and women and could weigh down any recovery for years to come. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are pretty much flat right now. Portugal has officially asked the European Union for a bailout. The country is mired in debt and is looking for somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 billion. What's not going to help Portugal is the European Central Bank's decision today to raise its main interest rate by 0.25%. That means it's going to cost more for people and countries to borrow money. It's the first time the ECB has raised rates in 3 years. The Bank of England, by the way, kept its rates steady today. The United Nations said today its food price index fell last month, the first drop there in 8 months. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow was up 32 points to close at 12,426.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank. offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years, on the web at chevy.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
There's a study out today in the journal Health Affairs that finds the rate of hospital errors is 10 times what's been measured in the past. And a third of all admissions lead to a complication caused by medical care. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports it's a multi-billion dollar problem.
Dr. David Klassen is at the University of Utah. His team analyzed individual patient records at three large hospitals looking for medical mistakes.
These are significant events because it's not they gave me a pill and I got a stomachache. They gave me a pill and I started throwing up blood and they had to treat me.
It's a more rigorous method than most hospitals use. They typically rely on voluntary reporting by medical staff or on insurance claims. Dr. John Santa of Consumer Reports says the problem costs at least $17 billion a year.
We have an expensive system, and increasingly we know it's expensive because there's many mistakes.
According to another study in Health Affairs, the most expensive hospital-caused complications come from incorrect medication, post-operative infections, and bed sores. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, if the federal government does shut down tomorrow night, non-essential employees won't be the only ones temporarily out of work. Their government-issued smartphones will get the boot as well. An administration official tells the Wall Street Journal, if a federal worker is furloughed, it is illegal to work. It's a criminal violation. Well, that includes looking at and responding to work-related emails. One government staffer tells the Journal she's thinking about a 12-step BlackBerry withdrawal program. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org and on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The Mad Dog of the Middle East was once hailed as a national hero who stood up to the oil companies and got Libya a good deal.
It is the oil money, the petrodollars, that's made Gaddafi, the man who was liberating his oil industry.
I'm Bob Moon. That same oil wealth has now transformed Gaddafi into an internationally loathed tyrant. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.